gonna shine when the light grows dim. Sing 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 1. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it.
Hello.
Hello, welcome to Honey Do Me Podcast. I'm Cass.
And I'm Emma. And this is our podcast about having sex, about relationships, about having sex with yourself or many other people, however many you want, how many you can fit in a room. Just do it.
However many hands you want to bring into this situation.
Oh, yes. That's
what we're talking about. And it's a new month at Honey Do Me, which means it's a new topic. And for the next 2 months, we're going to be talking about tips, tricks, and naughty bits. So yes, do you want to explain what that means?
Yeah, I do. So we're going to get into all of the tips and tricks of using your hands, using your mouth, using what you got on your body to pleasure another person's genitals. So whatever you got going on, we're going to try to hit every single naughty bit. And then we also want to get into how to take care of yourself, how to be healthy, how to check in, do body checks, make sure that what you got going on is just naughty and not functioning poorly. I don't know, being taken care of clean.
Yeah, so it's just naughty in a good way.
Yeah, naughty in a good way.
Yeah, and we'll get into masturbation and all of that. So it's just real genital heavy 2 months.
Heavy genitals this month and next. Yeah. But we feel like it's a broad topic. Like, yes, it kind of feels specific, but we all have such different preferences and specificities. Mm-hmm. It's like, we like getting into the nitty gritty. And usually that takes us, as you know, an hour to do just like one thing. So why not make it like 6 episodes?
Exactly. So that's exactly what we're doing. And we are starting off with none other than Ashley Manta, who's one of our favorite sex educators. You may remember her. She came on years ago to help us rediscover the power of the hand job. And now she's helping us rediscover the power of fingering. And how she puts it is pussy massage, which really changes, I think, everything about it.
I mean, absolutely. At first, I was like, oh, you know, that's a subtle difference or like a preference. But when you really think about the actions and the power and the momentum that comes behind like finger banging or pussy massage, I mean, duh. So I'm really excited about this episode because it's fun and she's fun. And the tips that she gave on the hand job episode years ago, I mean, that was your guys' favorite for a long time. It was like one of the most downloaded episodes we had.
So expect greatness because that's what's waiting in this episode for you. And if you want to watch the movements that she does, you can go to our YouTube to see them there. And otherwise, we'll just see you on the other side of this amazing episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley Manta, otherwise known as the Canisexual. I am an award-winning sex and relationship coach, the author of the CBD Solution Sex, and a trained body sex coach by legendary pleasure pioneer Betty Dodson. Oh,
amazing. And we've had you on the podcast before, so we are so excited to have you back and to chat with you. You gave, I think our last episode with you was on hand jobs, right?
Yes, it was.
And that was just one of the most incredible, actually, literally the most like downloaded and watched episode that we have like to date. So we are so excited to have all of your tips and tricks. Because this time we're diving to vaginas and vulvas. Yes. We want to talk about finger sex with a vagina, vulva, how to do it. So I guess we can start with, do you have any like major rules right off the bat for having hand sex with a vagina?
So many, in fact.
Love it.
The first one is actually directly from Betty Dodson. She would always say, never touch a pussy with a dry hand. It's rude.
It's rude.
It's rude.
So using lube is an absolute non-negotiable for pussy massage.
Okay. See, and I wouldn't have gone there initially because I think we put so much onus on like the vagina already being wet.
Oh, yeah.
When going in for hand sex that you don't, at least I didn't think about like initially lubing up the mitt.
Yeah, so that actually speaks to a really common myth about vulvas, which is if a vulva is turned on, it's wet. And research tells us that's only true about 10 to 20% of the time. Emily Nagoski writes about it in her book, Come As You Are. It's called arousal non-concordance. Mm-hmm. And so you can feel mentally very turned on, but still be dry as a bone. And alternatively, you can be very wet and that not be because you're actually turned on. Mm-hmm. And so using wetness as a barometer for sexual readiness is a really unreliable narrator.
Mm-hmm. That percentage is not what I expected. That is a massively small percentage.
Right.
Okay, what other rules do we need to be considering?
Other rules. If you look at your hands, look at your nails, trace the inside of your lip with your fingernail and feel for any rough patches, sharp edges. You want to make sure that your nails are clean, trimmed, and filed before you're touching somebody's bits. Because vulvas specifically are very susceptible to infections. And so if you are cutting, if you've got junk under your nails, like that could lead to unpleasantness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. On your lip. That's such a good, easy tester too. It's right there. Lip.
And the mucosal membrane on the inside of your lip is very similar to the tissue on the inside of the vulva. So you'll actually get a very similar sensation. And when in doubt, use gloves. It is not just for strangers and play parties. It can be actually, one, very hot for like medical play, but also just great for smoothing out all the rough edges on your hands.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Is that true of you? So if you're somebody that has long nails as well, because you obviously don't want to cut those off.
Yes, absolutely. So if you have long nails, what I encourage people to do is actually stuff like cotton balls underneath the nails and then throw on a glove. And that way you'll still be able to feel with your fingertips, but it'll help to blunt the nail edges.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too, because right now I have naturally long nails. I'm like, but I wouldn't want to cut these if
I've been working on them.
I've been working on them.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, but that's a great first, the test of the inside of your lip and then gloves and cotton balls. So that's a little bit of preparation. Would you expect to have those like in your nightstand? Be like, right back, I'm going to go to the bathroom and shove my hands?
I generally consider kind of top to bottom when I'm prepping for a date. So like, have I showered? Is my hair clean? Have I, you know, prepped my genitals in whatever way that I tend to do that? And then the next thing I look at is nails. So yeah, I would say that's part of your kind of getting ready, whether you're somebody who wears makeup or just dresses up for a date. Like, check out your hands, because you're going to be touching your partner ostensibly with their consent, of course. But like, you want to make sure that your hands are ready to go where they need to go.
That makes sense.
What mistakes do you see people making when it comes to fingering and hand sex specifically for vulvas and vaginas?
So many things, really. I just wrote a Substack post about this today that I just published about an hour ago.
Amazing.
Which is kind of perfect. And the two main things that I see are itching the clit, like this kind of scratchy motion that I see people trying to do, or they try to like make their hand vibrate by going really fast.
I've tried that.
That doesn't work for everybody. I also see what I'm calling the weaponized come hither, which is when you take your fingers and make that come hither, except they do this like slamming motion into the G-spot. It's really unpleasant to experience. So like, I'm of the opinion that the term finger banging should be left in 2004 where it belongs, and like pussy massage should be how we are approaching hand sex for vulvas.
Okay, I like that reframe.
Yeah, it just initially gives you a completely different tone for the play you're about to engage in. And if you were to tell someone, I want you to like pussy massage me, yeah, I think that would completely change their go-tos initially. Than saying like, I want you to finger bang me, which time and place, sure. But
time and place. Yeah, and if that is your jam, if I'm making that like come hither bang motion, you're like, oh, that feels so good. Cool. Do that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it is good to have conversations with the receiver about how they like their vulva to be touched. And a great way to do that is, can you show me how you masturbate?
Okay. Question. If we're asking that of partners, and it can be a little bit of like a vulnerable question, obviously. Yeah. So can we do that question with our clothes still on?
You absolutely can.
And how do you show that with your clothes still on?
Well, you could be like me and have a pussy puppet next to your bed because, you know, that's how we roll. Or you can just sort of use your hand as a model, like the back of your hand, whether you like, you know, broad strokes, or if you're like, okay, this is my clit right here. Mm-hmm. I like it when you go around it instead of right on it. And I like two fingers, and I actually really like counterclockwise. That can be helpful. Or if you have the conversation about watching masturbation happen prior to clothes coming off, and then when clothes come off, that's when the demonstration happens. Either way.
Because, you know, masturbating in front of somebody can feel pretty intimidating. So I love the hand model that you just gave. That feels like it's still vulnerable. It's still intimate. You're still telling somebody what feels good to you, but it's a little separated. It's a little like, I don't know, just feels like a lot less pressure.
I get that. And also, you know, sex is intimate. Sex is vulnerable. And so there is a point at which I think it's really important for us to lean into that vulnerability and have conversations about masturbation and demonstrate with each other as a way of attaining more closeness and also like destigmatizing talking about it or demonstrating it. Like if that feels so terrifying to you that you can't contemplate it, like that might be an edge to lean into.
That's a very really good point.
That is a very good point. I've been like, there's parts of me that really want to be more sensual and like feel more confident when I'm trying to come off sexy or trying to talk about what I want in bed. And then when I practice by myself, I'm like, and all awkward about it, because I feel like if you do it half-assed, it's always going to feel a little bit awkward. Like this might be totally going into a different topic, but it's like the more I've just embraced, like this is going to be a little uncomfortable and I'm going to sound silly at first, but the more I say it or show it with like authenticity, the less clunky it's going to come off.
Absolutely. It's worth practicing. It is going to feel awkward and uncomfortable at first, but so is anything that you're doing differently than you've done before. So instead of trying to avoid that sensation of like, oh, I don't want to say the wrong thing, I don't want to ruin the moment, like lean into that discomfort and be like, oh, how can I challenge myself to like grow in this as a better partner for myself and for whoever I'm with?
That's a really good motivator.
It is. I think one of the reasons that I've leaned more towards hand sex and like missionary position and things like that is because it's like I don't have to see things. They're like a little bit further away and like I know they aren't looking directly at my bits. And so it just feels less intimidating, but that is an edge that's definitely worth leaning into. And I have leaned into it in a lot of ways with my partner, but it's very interesting to think about things in that way.
And I get that. You know, not every sexual encounter has to be a therapy session. Like, it's okay. It's okay if you want to do the things that feel, you know, more in your comfort zone. That's not a problem. But it is an opportunity if you bump into it, you know, kind of over and over again. If you're like, wow, the thought of my partner looking at my genitals feels really scary to me. I should unpack that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Cass and I have gone into some of those moments of like our we've grown a lot in some ways since the last time we've talked to you. Like we would have never explored like mutual masturbation 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. So it has been interesting that the more that we've talked about it, the more that we've talked about how uncomfortable it can be and then practice slowly, it has been like, yeah, playing with that edge can really be beneficial. And now we'll feel a little bit more comfortable trying one more inch at a time when we feel like it's the right moment.
Yeah. I love that.
Love it. So what are some ways we should start touching? Let's start with the outside, so the vulva. What are some good tips for touch?
Yeah. So even beyond starting with the outside, positioning I think is really important when it comes to pussy massage. And so the reclining diamond position that I described for hand jobs, I think works just as well for pussy massage. So having the receiver lying on their back, the giver sitting between their legs, with the receiver's legs on top of the giver's legs, making this sort of diamond shape.
Okay.
That frees up both hands, and that's where the external massage can begin, because you can slide up the inner thighs, you can slide over the lower abdomen and pubic mound, and like start to really broad base massage the area. Like, don't go straight for the clit, don't go straight for the vaginal opening. Like, start really with an overall pelvic massage, because we hold so much tension, right, in our hips, mm-hmm. in our thighs, in our pelvic floor. And so getting those parts online, getting them start to relax, even like reaching under and massaging the glutes a little bit, can be a really lovely way to kind of get your partner relaxed and embodied, encouraging them to breathe and either make eye contact with you or put on a blindfold if that feels more comfortable for them.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's kind of dealer's choice, but mm-hmm. making sure that they're doing the deep inhalations and exhalations as your hands are working into, you know, the crease between the vulva and the thighs and on top of the pubic mound, where you're kind of like with the heel of your hand kind of massaging up here. And then Midori has this amazing technique called the pussy massage, but the pussy hug rather. Mm. It's called the pussy hug, and you take your palm and you just lay it over the entire vulva and you just hold it there. You put some gentle pressure and you just hold it.
Mm. That does
and
sound-
it's so grounding and so relaxing and so lovely. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, a very lubricated hand, a very lubricated vulva, and just like putting that pressure to help the person feel grounded and present before you start going into different techniques, I think is a lovely way to start.
I feel like a lot of times we think about pussy massage as, you know, just like a little piece of foreplay. Should we be thinking of it as a main course, as the main event?
I think it absolutely can be the main event. And I think having a conversation, again, up front before you get into sexy fun times about what's on the menu is valuable, because sometimes all I want is a pussy massage. Sometimes all I want is to make out. Sometimes I want just penetration. Sometimes I want oral. Sometimes I want sort of a smattering of all of it. And that very much depends on the day, the partner, my mood, and, you know, the wind direction. So normalizing having like a, hey, what's on the table tonight conversation, mm-hmm. again, up front, or at least in the moment where you're like, okay, I think let's do this next, or let's do this for a while, or I would like to do this for at least, you know, 20 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour or whatever. Mm-hmm. Being really clear and transparent about what you're wanting can be mm-hmm. super, super helpful.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it takes a lot? Oh, I'm sorry, Cass, go ahead.
No, you.
I was going to say that takes a lot of pressure off of like getting side, or it takes the side thought away while you're just trying to enjoy. Because for me, when I'm receiving, I'm often thinking about the ways I need to reciprocate, or like, how long am I taking? Is this taking too long? And is this taking like too much of their time? And when I get up, I'll have to spend 10 minutes doing this to them. And that's really distracting and takes away from your pleasure all the time.
It really does. The mental chatter is such a toxic element to what you're trying to co-create. And so, one, getting over this idea that everything has to be exactly 50-50 reciprocal is important, because mm-hmm. maybe one night it's all about one person and the next night it's all about the other person. Like, it doesn't have to be split fully between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you know, trusting that if you both care about each other's pleasure and you both are committed to making sure each other has a good time, then eventually it will even out.
Right.
Yeah. Without having to be like, okay, they just rubbed me for 10 minutes, so I'm going to have to rub them for 10 minutes. Like, letting go of that sort of transactional mm-hmm. mental focus can be yeah. really, really useful.
Mm-hmm. I really like that. I didn't realize until just now how like stuck that idea is in my head, that like it does need to be equal, and equal means, you know, every night it has to even right. out a certain way.
Yeah. But I would love like a tip, because I am this person. I want it first. So,
okay.
And if we're saying like one night it could just be for me, so how do we ask, being like, I would love if tonight is just me. And maybe that's a great way to say it, but I also feel kind of selfish saying that and saying it that way.
So I think it is a great way to say it. And, mm-hmm. you know, looking at why does it feel selfish to advocate for your own needs might be also something to look at in your relationship, right? Like, does it feel like if my partner's not having some of the direction, some of the energy and focus directed at them, that they feel bored or unfulfilled? Like, can we create space for the idea that focusing on you the whole night could actually be really fun for them also? Right?
That's a healing thought. Fuck. Well, the bored thought hit me like right in the gut of like wondering if they're bored focusing on me. So yeah, why couldn't it be super fun for everyone involved? That's a deeper question.
And can we trust our partners that if they are bored or if they want something to be different, that they can speak up and say, you know what, I'm feeling done now. Let's move on to something else. Like I would say in my coaching practice to my couples or to anyone who's listening to the sound of my voice, the more that we can agree not to endure anything in sex is the more that we can agree to be present and like in our joy. Because if I'm only doing this for you because you want me to, and I am counting down the seconds until I've done enough to be done, and then we can move on to the next thing, we're not having a mutually good time. Now, not everything I do has to be for me or even has to be something that I specifically enjoy, but it does have to be something that I'm at least willing to do and not enduring.
Speaking of enduring, I feel like most clitoris owners have endured being touched in a shitty way, specifically around the clitoris. So I would love if we could get into some of the more pleasurable ways that someone can touch a clitoris.
Absolutely. So this is where the masturbation viewing can be really helpful and watching how the person touches their own clitoris. But broadly, I would say, I don't even want to put a statistic on it, but there's not a huge percentage of people who want to have stimulation directly on the clitoris.
Okay.
That's intense for a lot of people. And so I would say your safer bet, at least to start as you're kind of getting your sea legs around having these conversations, is to like have the clitoral hood over the clitoris and to be going kind of around it or next to it, like with one hand on one finger on either side of it, or massaging just one side or just the other side. I think you're going to have better luck with that to start as you're like, hey, how does this feel? Do you like it better when I do this or when I do this? That's going to start you off on a solid foot as opposed to going straight for like, I'm going to just stroke the head of your clit, right? Like this. And like, oh God, it makes me like cringe just thinking about it. So and there are going to be some people who are like, that's my favorite fucking thing. Cool. Right. Go you. Love that for you. But again, having range in your techniques is really valuable. So kind of going broadly. And then maybe they really like toy stimulation. Maybe they like vibration versus fingers. And so checking in about that, do you have a favorite toy that you like to use that I could be using on you? Can you show me how you like it?
And as a reminder, can you go over like where the clitoris is internally too and how vast it can be?
Or like, of course I can. I wore my internal clit necklace just for this podcast.
I'm so excited.
So this is the glands or the head of the clitoris, which is just about 10% of the overall, you know, real estate of the clit. The rest of it looks like this. So here's the head. Here's the shaft. It splits down into these two legs. And then on the inside, there are these two chambers called vestibular bulbs. And so this is basically a penis that is curved and bifurcated. The clit and the penis are exactly the same. It's just the penis is 90% external while the clit is 90% internal. And so the way that looks on an actual vulva is you've got the head here, and then these vestibular bulbs and the legs hug the opening of the urethra and the vaginal opening. And they will get erect. The tissue gets engorged. It's erectile tissue. And so you'll feel it more swollen when there's a lot of blood flow to the area, and that can make it more sensitive. Mm-hmm. And you can also be stimulating the back of the clit in the area that we used to call the G-spot, which we've figured out is actually just the back of the clit plus the urethral sponge. And so that's that come hither, in and up. And so you can be massaging the sides of the vagina as well as the top, and you're still hitting clit.
Wow. It's just so fun to remember that, of like, damn, that's a lot of pleasure down there.
A lot of clit.
it's meaty down there. It is. But it's just such a great, even for myself, I remind myself when I'm like masturbating that like there's so much more that I can be touching and playing with. Again, if you say it authentically, it'll get less awkward. And it just like brings so much more pleasure. And so reminding our partners of that too, of like outside play can be just as, if not more fun, because there's so much on the outside that you could be engorging.
Absolutely. And let's not neglect the labia. Like, I think we really get very fixated on clit and vagina when it comes to pussy massage, and to the exclusion of the labia. And they can feel amazing to be played with. If you take your fingers and kind of either, you know, massage down them or kind of stroke or pinch them, internal and external, like inner and outer labia are both equally sensitive for different people. And so, you know, whether you're kind of like gripping them, again, gently, don't like try to rip anything off, but like, but giving some squeezing pressure, giving some massaging pressure with your fingertips, stroking up and down with two fingers or three fingers can be really, really delightful. Because if you remember, the labia and the scrotum are the same. And so that's the ball sack, for those who are not up on their anatomy terms. And for people that have balls, sometimes they really like that skin played with. They like to have the balls played with themselves, but also the skin around it just kind of massaged or tugged or kissed or licked or whatever. And so that's another place that you can really get some good pleasure mileage that a lot of people completely skip over.
Absolutely.
I think for myself, why I typically glance past labia play is because of labia shame and like labia insecurity. And so I do feel like a lot of my pleasure gets cheated, or I get cheated out of it, because I don't want to advocate for like more attention being called to my labia. And it's a hurdle.
That's so real. And it also breaks my heart, because like people with vulvas have so much shame and stigma attached to our bodies, right? Like, it's got to smell a certain way, look a certain way. They have to be shaped a certain way. There has to be a certain amount of hair or no hair. You know, the clit can't be too big or too small. Like, there's just all of these arbitrary bullshit standards for what a vulva is supposed to look like. Most of it, you know, being shaped by what we're seeing in mainstream porn, which is a very, very specific, often very white subset of what bodies look like. And so to remember, you know, one of the many things I love about Betty Dodson's work is that she drew all of these different vulvas. And I have a group called Activating Your Cosmic Pussy. And in the third week, we do vulva gazing, where we each look at each other's vulvas in a really celebratory capacity. And we look at Betty's vulva drawings, and we see that there's so much range and diversity of how the lips are shaped, the symmetry and asymmetry, the way that the textures are, the colors, the shading, all of it. And it's all gorgeous. But we forget that because we're like, oh, it doesn't look like what I see in porn.
Yeah, very true. And that is still an astounding fact to me, that you all sit and stare at each other's vulvas.
It's so, I love it. Amazing.
And that's so liberating and incredible. And maybe one day, or at least I'll look at the drawings.
At least look at the drawings. But I would definitely recommend having a vulva gazing genital show and tell experience, because it really is liberating.
I'll float it out there in our next friend group. Yes.
Awesome.
So after we feel comfortable and confident and engorged on the outside, let's move inside. So you have mentioned the come hither motion, but I also was wondering if you had any other like finger motions with names that we can remember if we're drawing a blank or a little nervous, or we just need some good classic go-tos.
Absolutely. So one of the ones I like to do, especially with two hands, is the thumbs. I just call it the thumbs. Ooh. And you literally just take your thumbs and put them on either side of the vaginal opening, and you use it to massage the opening. What a lot of people get wrong about internal stimulation for vulvas is they feel like they need to go way to the back to get like maximum impact. You do not. The majority of the nerve endings are within the first 2 inches. So like chillax on the like all the way in and out situation. Like really think of it like a clock and start at 12 o'clock and just put a little bit of pressure and massage like lightly with your fingertip, and then go to 1 o'clock and then 2 o'clock and then 3 o'clock all the way around the clock and be checking in. How does it feel when I massage there? How does it feel when I massage there? Does it feel good? Do you feel nothing? Do you feel pain? Good, nothing, pain. Those are your three. And sometimes it will be painful. There may be either like a trigger point muscularly, or it could be like some kind of old trauma, emotions. Like we store stuff in our pussies. So you may tap into something that's real tender. And okay, all right, do you want me to try to massage with it, or do you want me to just skip that area altogether? Again, these dialogues are just crucial. And then if you do happen to have someone who actually really likes deeper penetration, you know, maybe they like having their cervix stimulated. Some people love cervical play. Some people are like, fuck you, don't touch my cervix. I will destroy you. I tend to fall into the latter camp. But
me too.
I was fisting someone once and she was like, oh, you know, play with my G-spot, play with my G-spot. And I'm like in there and I'm hitting it. And she's like, no, not there. It's back further. No, not there. It's back further. And I'm like, here? And she's like, yeah, 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 that. I'm like, baby, that is your cervix.
Oh, my
and
God.
She's like, oh. I was like, hitting, okay, let's make sure that we're on the same page.
Hitting a cervix and having it feel like your G-spot, that is a superhero.
And also cow. Not realizing that it's your cervix and not your G-spot. I was like, oh, sweetheart. Okay, that's fine.
Just punching
and
your
it turned
back
out she it. Actually really liked having it like kind of massaged rather roughly. Like she liked more intense cervical stimulation. And if you have really long fingers or someone with a very shallow vagina, I have very short fingers, so this is never going to be me. But if you have somebody who's like a piano player, there is a sweet little spot behind the cervix called the posterior fornix on the backside. The front side is called the anterior fornix. But the posterior fornix especially is like, I just had a partner who was actually long enough to hit it, who doesn't hit my cervix on the way to it. Like somehow his dick is shaped in such a way that it sort of swoops around my cervix and hits the posterior fornix. It is like another clit lives in the back of my vagina that I didn't know about because no one had ever played with it before.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So if you have a particularly like skillfully shaped dildo or really long fingers, you can get back to the posterior fornix, or some people like their anterior fornix is played with, but like the spots around the cervix, like either up directly above or directly behind, are super sensitive and nerve dense, and most people skip over them entirely.
That is holy so shit. Fascinating. Like, my God, the way that everybody's body, like, and what you're saying just about how some people love their cervix played with even roughly, like, that blows my mind, because to me, yeah, I'm like, fuck you, absolutely not. But it's just so cool how everybody's body is different and proves the point that communication is so fucking necessary.
Absolutely crucial.
I'm gonna out myself here and call myself an anatomy dum-dum. I didn't know you could go around your cervix. I thought you just had to go through the small little hole. Get to the other
side
of your cervix.
You go in it if you want to go into your uterus, but the cervix actually hangs in the vagina kind of like a chandelier.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
I just thought it was like a donut that opened and closed, and then like regardless, you're just in your uterus.
No, there's a whole area of space around the cervix where it comes in. So like for people who have had like radical hysterectomies and the uterus is removed, the cervix comes with it. And then there's like a cul-de-sac kind of wall. But otherwise, the uterus and the cervix comes down from the uterus. And then the os is the little hole that you're describing, the little donut hole that kind of opens and closes when you're letting out blood or babies or putting IUDs in there or whatever. But there's space all around the cervix. And in fact, the cervix moves based on your arousal. So like sometimes it's closer like to the top. Sometimes it kind of goes to the back. It also shifts over the course of your cycle as to where it's placed. So yeah, lots of real estate in there to play with.
So much real estate. Wow. I'm going to have to look up some graphs later or some diagrams. That's crazy. And I had no idea that you could have pleasure spots around your cervix.
I didn't Insane. Either until I dated somebody with a 9-inch cock. And then I was like, oh, my God.
That'll do it. That'll do it.
He calls it executive parking.
Employee of the month for sure.
Right? I'm here for this.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. You should name it after that. That's amazing.
My God. Uh-huh. If you are listening now and, you know, you've come to the conclusion, I have been doing a shit job at hand sex, and you're ready to take the steps to becoming better, do you have any formulas that you can start out with trying? Like first touch here, then here, then here. If you're like really just wanting something to go off of, obviously you're going to want to talk to the person. But if you're both like not really sure what works because it hasn't been going so well, where can you start?
So Annie Sprinkle is a really amazing sex educator, porn performer, porn maker, and tantra genius. And in a book that Tristan Taramino edited, it's an anthology called Ritual, Annie Sprinkle lays out like a 30 to 60 minute long pussy massage protocol. And if you're like, I have no idea where to start, I don't, what should I do? I really need directions because like that's how my brain works. Respect. I get that. that is the protocol that I would follow, because she does a lot of the like broad massage first. Then she does a lot of external massage. Then she starts to do some clit work. Then she does some internal massage. Like, and all of it is done with a lot of like sacredness and thoughtfulness. And it's spectacular. It's where most tantra folks get their like yoni massage, pussy massage protocol from, is from this Annie Sprinkle protocol. And it's good. It's really good. If you're like, I don't have time for that, just give me something I can use right now. Okay. I see you. It's fine. Start with a pussy hug. Have them breathe a couple times. Do some labia work. Do some pelvic, pubic mound work, like right on the pelvic bone. Do a little bit of kind of stroking around the clitoris. See how that does. Go for the clock technique, like hit those things. And also remember that like pleasure is sensation in context, to quote Emily Nagoski. And so it really does depend on the day, on where they are in their cycle, on how stressed they are, on how safe they feel with you. Like something that they really loved yesterday may not be a foolproof go-to for today. And so kind of approaching every new interaction with a pussy or genitals generally as a tabula rasa blank slate is useful.
Yeah. And then is there also like a go-to rhythm for like internal massage if we're just trying to go slow? Is it a back and forth? Is it more of the come hither? Like a go-to...
That is very different for everybody. Like if I were to tell you one thing or another, the I'd other 50% of the population would be like, fuck you, that's not how it works. Like it, right. It's something that you really just try a couple different things and get feedback. Like on a mm-hmm. scale of 1 to 10, we could go full Likert scale, right? Like with 10 being holy shit, I'm gonna orgasm, and 1 being let's watch Netflix. Mm-hmm. Where are you? Oh, you're at a 6. Okay, what would make it a 7? What would make it a 9? What would make it a 3? Mm. Let's get a kind of a baseline. But I tend to think, unless you are someone who really knows that you like a lot of intense frenetic sensation, that slower is better. Mm-hmm. And consistent is better. Keep a fucking tempo, okay? There's some comedian out there who talks about how, like, as soon as you tell somebody you're about to come, they'll be doing the same thing, like almost in a trance, and then they just start like freestyling all of a sudden, or they get faster, yeah. or especially, and I see this with heterosexual men all the time, is they speed up because they mm-hmm. think it feels better if you speed up, because with their dicks, a lot of the time it does feel better when you speed up, especially mm-hmm. when they're getting closer. But for me, if you speed up when I'm about to have an orgasm, I am no longer about to have an orgasm.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
So keep a tempo, whether you're like listening to music and you go with like a nice slow bump and grind kind of beat, or you count it in your head like you're counting like on the dance floor. I don't care, but keep a goddamn tempo.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Right? This is what I'm saying.
I totally also feel like it takes me a minute to realize the rhythm that's even happening down there. And so it will take me a minute for you to be repetitive for me to feel good. So if the second I'm getting used to where we're going and you switch it up, it's like just patience. We all need to have a little bit of patience because, yeah, what you're saying, rhythm, repetition, that's better than you thinking I'm bored or me thinking that they're bored. And then we both are like, what the fuck is going on? And no one comes.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
What if you are wanting to have both internal and external stimulation at the same time?
So that could be done a couple of different ways. You can have a vibrator doing external stimulation and your hand doing internal stimulation. You could have one hand doing external, one hand doing internal. You could have one hand doing external, one hand doing dildo or other kind of penetrative toy. Mm-hmm. Or you could have one hand holding vibrator, one hand holding dildo.
There you go.
Like choose your own adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's some variety.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. And I think being comfortable bringing in toys to partnered sex is one of the great pleasures and one of the great gifts that I've gotten from like a past partner of like, he was very like, we should bring this in. I feel like that'll be really fun and like, it'll feel good for you. And so, but it is a hurdle initially of feeling like you could bring a toy into partnered sex.
Yes. Some people do feel a little bit intimidated at first, but always remembering that toys are an ally, not competition. Yeah. They don't cuddle and they don't do laundry. They're not going to replace you. And if you're that threatened by something with a motor, like you have bigger problems.
If you also don't do laundry.
Yeah.
Now we really have problems.
Now we really have problems.
Then the toy is a replacement. So
if you don't do laundry or cuddle, then you're just fucked and you can see yourself.
And you're
out.
Gone. Like, yeah. The last like thing that's on my mind is feeling like I need to engage as the receiver. But also if I just want to engage, like, are there ways that the receiver can be a part of the motion of the ocean while someone's fingering them?
Absolutely. There's lots of different ways you can do that. One is just by simply vocalizing, which I would certainly encourage you to be doing throughout, mm-hmm. not just giving verbal feedback, but just like when it feels good, make noise, not in a performative way, but in a kind of classical conditioning way, right?
Like, I love that.
Oh, yes. Oh, right there. You know, that's a good way. And it's more fun to give to someone who's really enjoying themselves and like demonstrably enjoying themselves.
Love that word.
At the same time, if you do kind of zone out and just like you're fully in your pleasure transcendent journey, and that means you get real quiet and real still, but you're having a great time, like that's cool too. Mm-hmm. Don't feel like you have to perform. But if it feels authentic and integrity, for you mm-hmm. to make noise, I would encourage you to do that. You can also get into it by like rocking your hips or, you know, pointing your toes or gripping the sheets or gripping your partner's head, arm, hand, whatever. Things like that can be really valuable. If you happen to be lying next to each other instead of doing reclining diamond position, you know, maybe you're running your hand over a part of your partner's body that they enjoy having touched while they're giving. You know, that's a really fun way to be connected.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any favorite dirty talk phrases for either the receiver or the giver to use with pussy massage in particular?
I love it when you blank my blank. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I love it when you rub my clit. I love it when you stroke my labia. I love it when you finger my pussy. I love it when you massage my G-spot. I love it when you whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Mad Lib. You can really use it however you want. But I love it when you blank my blank. Classic.
Mm-hmm.
For the giver, I love the way you feel. I love how warm you are. I love how soft you are. I love how you clench around me. I love feeling your heartbeat. I love, what else do you enjoy about this experience? How else can you reaffirm that you're not bored?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for letting me do this. It feels so good to watch you in your pleasure. I love helping you feel good like this. I love that we're spending this time together.
Those are good.
Those would work.
Right? Yeah. Your pussy is stunning mm-hmm. and I can stay here all night.
That'd be cool.
Those are all great options.
That's one way to definitely make me feel like you're not bored. That's for sure.
Right?
That would do it.
I would just like, at that point, hands behind the head.
Exactly.
I feel like that's, you feel so uncomfortable initially, or I do, making a sound. But like you're saying, it's so reaffirming to hear, like, one, as the giver, the receiver is like being pleasured and like you're doing a good job. And then two, the person that's giving, it's nice to feel like they're enjoying themselves down there. And like, great, you're having fun. You're not just like thinking about a TV show that you're replaying in your head. That makes me feel good.
Exactly. Like mm-hmm. one of the things that helped me get more comfortable squirting, because like I felt weird about it. I was like, I'm making a mess. It's not an orgasm, so it doesn't feel like anything for me. But like my partner loves it when I squirt. He just thinks it's the hottest fucking thing ever. So he would really encourage me, like when I would start to squirt a little before I would even be consciously aware of it, because it doesn't feel like anything, to be like, oh, there you go, baby. Yes. Oh, just like that. Yeah. Squirt for me, please. Yes. Oh, more, baby. Like, okay. Yes, daddy.
Yes, I will. That is it's like your sideline coach, you know, mm-hmm. but in the best way, in the dirtiest way.
Encouragement is really hot.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Well,
is there anything that we
now everyone needs a joint?
Yeah. Is there anything we didn't touch on when it comes to hand sex, pussy massage, that you want to make sure we cover?
Yes. Let's talk about the butt.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And the perineum. So I love anal stimulation from a massage perspective. That actually is much more enjoyable for me than penetrative anal sex. So there's a couple of things there. One is you have to remember that the ass is always a final destination. So you have mm-hmm. to have an ass hand and mm-hmm. a not ass hand.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally the ass hand has a glove on it, because that makes it for easier cleanup later. But like mm-hmm. if you are playing with my pussy with both hands and then you reach down and you start like massaging my asshole, if you go back up to my pussy, now I'm like, whoa, stop. And mm-hmm. like I have to put my sex educator hat on and be like, no, you can't do that. You're going to give me an infection. Go wash your hands. Like, I suddenly mm-hmm. have to like watch you mm-hmm. kind of peripherally, which takes me out of the moment. So agreeing, like making that a very clear ground rule before you get started. Hey, I might do some anal stimulation if you are up for that, if you would enjoy that. I will make sure to not cross streams and like cross contaminate where booty cooties are going.
Booty cooties.
That's going to make everybody's lives much easier. And so on the perineum itself, like before you actually get to the butthole, it can feel really nice to take your knuckles and just massage with like either the pointy part or the flat part of your knuckles, like mm-hmm. in the perineum area, or take your two thumbs and like massage just around there, like below the vaginal opening. A lot of people hold a ton of tension there. And so it can also be a sensitive area, like a too sensitive, like ow kind of thing. So check in. Okay. Mm-hmm. But don't be afraid of the perineum. Make sure that if you're not going to be touching the butt, you have made that clear as well, so that you can play in the perineum area and not have them be like, oh God, are they going to stick a finger in my ass? Nope. Mm-hmm. We didn't agree to that. That's not what's happening. And that you can do like just external anal massage without actually going in. It's okay to just rub on the outside. Again, not touching the vulva after that, but to stimulate that way as a way of enhancing the pussy massage experience. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Great point. The ass is the final destination.
Always.
Always. At least one ass hand.
One ass hand, one everything else hand.
One everything else hand. Good, great point. Thank you for bringing that up.
Where can our listeners continue connecting with you after this episode, continue learning with you, access your courses, all of that?
I hope that you do. You can find me on my website, canisexual.com, on Instagram at canisexual. My online courses are at elevatedintimacy.com. And then I also have a Substack. It's called So That Happened. And I post stories about my life and my adventures. I post kind of pro tips, and people that subscribe to my Substack get 10% off my classes. So that's a great place to go as well.
So when you were talking about Ashley's greatness, it reminded me, is it the Black Eyed Peas song? It's like greatness plus greatness equals great greatness.
I'll be so honest with you right now. I have no fucking idea what you're talking about.
I feel like you would know the song if I played it for you. But greatness, as in you and I, plus Ashley greatness equals great greatness of a fingering episode. So thank you so much, Ashley, for coming back on the podcast all these years later. It's so funny that it's like within the same genre of something she did 3 years ago. And this was just so random that it was like a perfect fit for this episode. So that was so fun. And thank you to our listeners for hanging out.
You can head on over to Apple Podcasts to rate, review, and subscribe to Honey Do Me. You can leave us a written review. You can rate us on Spotify. As I said earlier, you can watch us on YouTube. If you ever have any episode suggestions, guests you want to see, anything like that, just really nice things that you want to tell us privately, you can go to the links in our bios on Instagram or TikTok and submit on our form there. And otherwise, I just hope you have a great spanking week.
Great spanking week. With that, toodaloo. See you next week.
Bye.